you've got a Bible with you, turn please first to Numbers chapter 8, although we'll be looking in Hebrews as well. Numbers chapter 8, but I'm going to pray and ask for God's blessing on his word. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask, Lord God Almighty, that you would help us to hear what you're saying to us. Lord, Rocky prayed about the word of God going deeper into us, and we just sung in that song, Speak, O Lord, and take it deeper into us, Lord. And I'm praying today that this word, Lord God, would be embedded into our lives and that it would bear fruit for your glory, O God. Father, we ask that you would open our eyes to behold wonderful things from out of your word. And we pray, Lord God, that your word would be continually setting us free to walk, Lord God, in your will and in your ways. And may your word speak to the Christian and build them up this morning. May it speak to the backslider and bring them back this morning. May it speak to the lost that they might be saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask this, please. Amen. I know Pete was here last Sunday morning, was watching his talk on Facebook, and just to say thanks to Pete for stepping in last week, and again thanks to Denise for last Sunday night. But we're looking at Jesus and his eternal role as prophet, priest and king. And we've covered his function, and you know that we only covered over a couple of weeks. It's only a skipping over this. We covered his function as the prophet of God, whom God told Moses that he would raise up. God has always, always, get this into your head, God has always spoken through his appointed and anointed prophets who are called by God, who are given his word to declare, and who often make known his future plans. And God's word is unchanging. He still says that he does nothing, absolutely nothing, without revealing it first unto his servants, the prophets. But would you be surprised to know this morning that you might not think you're a prophet, but there's one living in you? And so God might reveal things to you about what he's going to do because of the prophet who lives in you, as in the Holy Spirit is God. And he may indeed reveal things to you of what God is going to do. God has always spoken through his appointed anointed prophets who are called by God, given his word to declare, and often make known his future plans. And as the ultimate prophet of God, we've seen how Jesus, the word of God become flesh, came to declare God's word to fallen mankind, foretold his own death, his resurrection, his ascension, and his eventual return. So there is even the prophetic aspect of the ministry of Jesus about his own life, that he foretold his own death, his resurrection, his ascension, and his eventual return. Jesus, the prophet of God, however, now listen to this, Jesus, the prophet of God, and remember that all prophets of God, now when they speak what God has given them, it is supposed to be received as the word of God. Well, we know that Jesus is the word of God. And listen to what the prophet of God says. Jesus, the prophet of God, has commanded all mankind to repent, to turn around from your sin, to turn around from living your life your way and be saved. Now, here is the point. Those who hear and obey will receive the blessing that obedience brings. Those who do not hear and obey Jesus, well, God tells us, he will require it of them. So what that means is on the day of judgment, people aren't going to be standing to say, oh, I'm sorry that I committed this sin and that sin, and God's not going to be standing there saying, you did this and you did that. The only thing that God says is, I require from you, why did you reject Jesus? Why did you say no to my only means of salvation? Why did you reject the most beautiful demonstration of my love for you? Why did you say no? God will require that. He's not remotely interested in what you may have done or have not done. He is asking, what did you do about Jesus? Nowadays, Nowadays, when we hear the word priest, it immediately conjures up negative thoughts in our minds, particularly around clerical abuse within the churches. Or perhaps it, in light of the programs that are being shown at the moment about the troubles in Northern Ireland, perhaps it's about the Roman Catholic Church and the collusion with the IRA and some atrocities such as Father James Chesney and the Claudie bombing, or Father Patrick Flynn, who was on TV recently, who said that he was involved in the Brighton bombing that almost killed Lady Margaret Thatcher. Perhaps when you think of priest, it has this really negative thought in your mind. Priest was a title once feared within Roman Catholic homes, within Roman Catholic communities. But thanks be to God, that fear has lost or is losing that sense of fear. See all of the terrible things that have happened. All of the abuse, all of the scandals, all of those things, terrible as they are, and we mustn't make light of them in any shape or form. But God has also used all of that trauma to break the stranglehold of these people over their communities. The word priest means one authorized to perform. Billy just spoke about Jesus sending out the 70. They were sent out with the authority of Jesus. They were authorized. The word priest means one authorized to perform the sacred rites of a religion, especially as a mediator between humans and God. One who is holy or set apart to perform these services. Well, just as we turn to the Old Testament to gain insight into the role and the function of a prophet, so we need to turn to the Old Testament again to understand the role of Jewish priests. So turn, please, to Numbers chapter 8. And I'm reading from verse 13. God speaking, "And you shall stand the Levites before Aaron and his sons, and then offer them like a wave offering to the Lord. Thus you shall separate the Levites from among the children of Israel, and the Levites shall be mine. After the Levites shall go into service, the tabernacle of meeting, so you shall cleanse them and offer them like a wave offering." Verse 16. "For they are wholly given to me from among the children of Israel. I have taken them for myself instead of all who open the womb, the firstborn of all Israel, all the children of Israel. For all the firstborn among the children of Israel are mine, both man and beast. On the day that I struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I sanctified them to myself. I have taken the Levites instead of all the firstborn of the children of Israel." So you understand what's happening here. When God wiped out all the firstborn in Egypt to see the people of Israel set free, he claimed as his own all the firstborn of Israel as his own. Okay, so that was the first thought. God planned, first and foremost, God planned and has always planned to use three offices to govern his kingdom on earth. Let me just be clear again about something. The kingdom of God has never left planet earth. Okay? Didn't leave when Adam and Eve sinned. The kingdom of God never forsook planet earth. The kingdom of God has always been at work. And God has always planned to use three offices to establish his kingdom, to make his kingdom known. And those three offices are prophets, priests, and kings. Some people, for example, suggest that Adam was the first priest who served God and then was followed by his son Seth. Noah is also thought to have been a priest, while another, Melchizedek, was honored by Abraham. In fact, Melchizedek is a really interesting character because it is said of him that he is both a priest to the God Most High and a king. He is a priest and a king. In fact, it says he is without father or mother. He is without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, made like the Son of God, and remains a priest continually. The kingdom of God has never left planet Earth. God has always ordained how he was going to make sure that what he, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, had planned from before the foundation of the world, he had always, always ordained how he was going to ensure this happened. And it meant that his kingdom would always be on the earth. The god of this world, as we know, Satan and whatever else, robbing and deceiving, whatever else, he fools himself into thinking that he is the ruler over all things. But God is the ruler over all things. And God has always had his priests, his prophets, and his priests, his kings, to bring forth his kingdom and to lead his people in the way they would go. So let's just give you a quick example of that. God chose, think about this, I want you to pick for a moment, right? Just for one moment, shout out yourselves if you can think of this. Think of all of the nations of the world. Think of all of the tribes in all of the nations of the world. Which one would you pick? Aye, but you're saying that now because you know the Bible. So let's just pretend Israel doesn't exist. Who are you going to pick? If you're God and you're going to make a plan that you're going to see fulfilled, who are you going to pick? What nation are you going to pick to fulfill your plan? The Northern Irish. And the emphasis is on the Northern Irish, Northern Ireland people. Why not? The only problem, we would struggle to find a Virgin Mary. However, and certainly we would struggle to find three wise men from the east. But God, listen, God chose the people of Israel from among all of the nations of the world, not because Israel was special. He chose them because that is who God is. He can choose as he wills, and he chose the people of Israel from among the nations to be a kingdom. He wasn't saying that they were better than all of the other nations. He had to choose a nation. So he chose the people of Israel from among all of the nations to be a kingdom of priests to serve him and to bring his light out to all of the other nations. He wasn't saying, I don't like these other nations, but he was saying, I need to choose this nation to be the kingdom of priests who will bring my light out to all of these other nations. And later we find that in the days of Noah, our days of Moses, God chose the firstborn sons of the Jewish people to be his priests. However, when he chose them and Israel were led out of Egypt, they sinned and sinned and sinned. And so what God did was, instead of that, because of Israel's disobedience, because of their failure to keep God's law, that led God to then choose, God didn't make a mistake, by the way, it led God to choose the tribe of Levi. That's one of Jacob's 12 sons. Levi was one of Jacob's 12 sons. And God decided, what I'm going to do, I'm going to pick the tribe of Levi, and I'm going to use them and them exclusively to serve in the tabernacle and the temples. So if you belong to Reuben, if you belong to Issachar, to Naphtali, or to one of the other sons of Jacob, you could not serve in the temple. You couldn't do it. It was specifically, exclusively for the tribe of Levi to be the priests. However, from the tribe of Levi, God again exclusively chose Aaron and his descendants to be consecrated and to represent him to the people, to serve as mediators, as intercessors between people and God by prayer, by sacrifice, by worship, and all of the other services they offered. So do you understand? God first chose the whole nation of Israel to be the kingdom of priests to bring the light out to the nations, but they kept letting God down. But God had a plan. So then what he says, I'm going to choose the tribe of Levi. Then he said, from the tribe of Levi, now the Levites were still the ones who would help out in the temple, but from that tribe he would pick Aaron and his sons to be the priests and the high priests. In that sense, it would be through that lineage. And from among these priests, one was chosen by God to be the high priest. I'm going to have to fly through this. The high priest, as we know, he could enter into the holy place only once a year, the Holy of Holies, once a year on the Day of Atonement to sprinkle the blood of the sacrifice on the Ark of the Covenant. And the priests, only the priests, were able to offer the lambs without blemish and many other of the sacrifices to make atonement for their own sin and that of the people. Even the high priest, the biggest priest of all, even the high priest on the Day of Atonement, he had to first offer a sacrifice for his own sin before entering the Holy of Holies. If he hadn't offered that sacrifice, if the high priest put on all the garb and put it on exactly and walked into the Holy of Holies without first having offered the sacrifice for his own sin, he'd have died like that in an instant. He had to offer a sacrifice for his own sin, and then he went in to offer the sacrifice on behalf of the people. Even the high priest, even the highest person, if you want to call it religiously, in the land, had to offer us first a sacrifice for his own sin before entering the Holy of Holies to offer the blood of the sacrifice for the sin of the nation of Israel. Every Old Testament priest, every Old Testament high priest was just a shadow, a type of the great high priest to come, Jesus. Turn please to Hebrews chapter 3. I'm going to have to fly through this. Hebrews chapter 3, reading the first three verses. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle. Consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in all his house. For this one has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house. Go across to chapter 4, and we're reading from verse 4 right through to verse 10 of chapter 5. So from verse 14, Hebrews 4. Listen to the writer, what he's telling us here. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. For every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin. He can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is also subject to weakness. Because of this, he is required, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer sacrifices for sins. And no man takes this honor to himself, but he who is called by God, just as Aaron was. So also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest, but it was he who said to him, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." As he also says in another place, "You," speaking of Jesus, "you are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him." Called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. The writer to the Hebrews calls Jesus the apostle. and high priest of our confession. Jesus, the prophet of God, was also sent from the glory of heaven. Apostle means one who is sent. Jesus is the apostle because he was sent by God the Father from the glory of heaven, but he was sent not just as an apostle and as a high priest. He was sent both as a messenger and as a minister of God, who would become one with humanity to proclaim God's truth. And by making himself an offering for sin, Jesus would open the way for those who hear, believe, and obey him to be born again into a relationship, a living relationship with God. This great high priest, you've heard this many times in Shiloh, this great high priest, as the writer calls Jesus, is such because unlike any other high priest before him, who were just shadows and types of the greater high priest to come, unlike any other before him, Jesus was without sin. And yet, he could sympathize with mankind and understand our weaknesses because he was tempted just like us in every way. But he did not sin. Every high priest before Jesus had to first offer a sacrifice for his own sin before he could offer the sacrifice for the sins of the people. Not Jesus. Jesus was without sin. But as our great high priest, he offered himself as the sacrifice for the sin of the people. Jesus' death is at the heart of his work as a great high priest. By his death, offering himself as a sacrifice for sin, his offering is once for all. Do you hear that? His offering is a once for all offering on behalf of mankind. No further sacrifice is needed. See all your wee stupid sacrifices that you offer when you sin against God. Oh Lord, look, I'm really sorry I've done that. I'll try desperately hard not to do it again. That's a wee stupid sacrifice that God has no need for. Once for all, done in Jesus. When we sin against the Lord, we confess it and we get up and we move on. The sacrifice of Jesus is enough. The sacrifice of Jesus is enough. Well, in the Westminster Shorter Catechism, it says this: Christ executes the office of a priest in his once offering up of himself a sacrifice to satisfy the divine justice and reconcile us to God, and then making continual intercession for us. Now, let me try to explain this dead simply. Great high priest, before he can walk in to the Holy of Holies once a year on the Day of Atonement to offer the sacrifice for the sin of the nation, okay? Before he could do that, he had to first do what? Offer a sacrifice for his own sins. Okay? He had to offer a sacrifice for his own sins and then go in and sprinkle the blood of the sacrifice on the mercy seat for the covering of the sins of the people of Israel. Not Jesus. Jesus just boldly walks in and says, "Hi, Father." And that's enough. Why? Doesn't need an animal. Doesn't need the blood of a lamb or bulls or anything else. He walks in to the very presence of the Father because he is the offering for sin. So he is the offering for sin, yet he is the high priest who is presenting the offering for sin. So you understand there is no need for any more sacrifice, because when Jesus walks into the presence of the Father, he is the offering and he is the high priest making the offering on our behalf, which is what Jesus is saying to us this morning. He's saying, "I have done this. I have walked right into the Father's presence. I have walked right into the holiness of the Father. And if there had been any sin in me, I would have been consumed." But he was without sin, yet he offered himself as the sacrifice for our sin. Why? So that we who believe in him can walk right in to God's presence and enjoy God and be loved by God and enjoy being loved by God. Jesus cannot. He cannot be continually sacrificed, because having offered himself once and for all, he fully satisfied God's divine justice. As the great high priest, having paid the debt for sin, Jesus has reconciled us to God, that is, those who hear, believe, and obey him. As our great high priest, Jesus the man has entered into the most holy place and has sat down at God's right hand, ever living to make intercession for us. The ministry of the prophet is to proclaim God's word and make known his plans. The ministry of the priest is to offer sacrifices that bring reconciliation and intercede before God. So you have mediation, you have sacrifice, you have reconciliation, and you have intercession. The role of Jesus as our great high priest involves all of these. Jesus mediates between God and us. There is one God and one mediator between man and God, the man Christ Jesus. So Jesus mediates between God and us, so that we are accepted into God's presence and are adopted into his family. And as the prophet of God, Jesus brings the word of God to man, which is why I said at the start, listen to what the prophet of God says. The prophet of God, who is Jesus, says what? He commands all people everywhere to repent of their sins and to turn back to God. That is what the prophet proclaims. He is the word of God, and God's word says, repent and be saved. As the prophet of God, Jesus brings the word of God to man. But as our great high priest, Jesus brings the sacrifice for man to God. Do you see the difference? He comes as the prophet to proclaim, repent and be saved. But we can't repent and be saved unless there is a satisfaction to God's justice and to God's holy law. So Jesus the prophet proclaims the word of God to man, but as the great high priest, Jesus brings the sacrifice that is necessary himself. He who is without sin, who offered himself as a sacrifice for sin, Jesus brings the sacrifice for man to God. And guess what? God accepts the sacrifice. The writer to the Hebrews tells us, it is Jesus, our great high priest, who has passed through the heavens, is seated at God's right hand, ever living to make intercession for us. This same Jesus calls you this morning. This same Jesus calls me this morning, calls us this morning to approach the throne of grace, to obtain mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Maybe this morning you've got a wee time of need. Maybe there's a struggle in your heart. I know with Sandra, burden for her sister, that's a need. And guess what Jesus says? Come on, Sandra. Come on into the throne room. Come on in and lay it before me. Come on in and trust me, I'll meet you in your need, because I've paid the debt in full. The sacrifice has been paid and the offering received. And he bids us all, whatever our needs this morning, come in to the throne room of God and find mercy and grace to help in your time of need. How beautiful. What more is required, Christian? What more is required to give you boldness and confidence to draw near to God? What more do you need to enable you to understand that because of Jesus, your sins are forgiven? Jesus, our great high priest, is living proof that mankind's debt for sin is paid in full. Jesus offered himself as the sacrifice for sin, redeeming us and reconciling us to God. And he sits at God's right hand by his very life interceding for us. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus. And if you listen, whatever you're going through, whatever your struggle might be this morning, whatever pressures you are encountering, whatever battles you're facing, listen. Can you hear Jesus? He said, come on. Come on in to the throne room and you'll find grace and mercy to help in time of need. Christian, what more do you need to give you confidence and boldness to humbly draw near to God? Maybe this morning there's someone here and they're not yet a believer, maybe watching on Facebook, you're not yet a Christian. Well, let me tell you something. The Christianity is all about good news. And the good news this morning is there is forgiveness with God for you today. There is forgiveness. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter how many bad things you've done. Doesn't matter if you think you're holy and religious and all of those things. There is forgiveness with God for you. If you will simply hear, believe, and obey Jesus. Jesus, the prophet of God, says, repent so that you might be saved. Those who hear, believe, and obey Jesus will receive the blessings obedience brings. But those who do not hear, who do not believe, who do not obey Jesus, God will require it of them. What will you do? What will you do with Jesus? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how beautiful to have Jesus as our great high priest. One who came into this world, Lord God, to understand our weaknesses, our feelings, the sinfulness of our sin, yet himself was without sin. And as a great high priest, he offered himself as the sacrifice for sin. The sinless one took upon himself our sin so that we could receive the righteousness of God. And it is Jesus who is seated at your right hand who bids us to come boldly, confidently, humbly to the throne room of God to find grace and mercy to help us in our time of need. Oh Jesus, please help us to hear you bid us come. And may we confidently, because of what you have done for us, may we come and draw near to God and he draw near to us. Lord, I pray this morning that any Christian who's struggling at this time, whatever that might be, Lord God, that they will hear the voice of Jesus bid them come in. Come into the throne room of God where there's all the grace you need. There's all the mercy you need. There's all the strength and help that you need. Come. Come and receive of Jesus. And I pray for anyone, Lord, who's not yet a Christian, that you'd help them to see, Lord, that you as the prophet proclaim that people everywhere need to repent. They need to turn around from living their life their way, turn away from their sinful, wicked ways, and turn to God. And you promise them, Lord, if they do that, believing in you, that they shall have forgiveness of sins and everlasting life. And they too, through you, will have access to the throne room of Almighty God to find grace and mercy to help in their time of need. May they come. May they come to God through you. In your precious name, Lord Jesus. Amen.